I know, Sheriff, we were talking a little bit off air about, you know, we've been talking about a series of different topics in regards to SWAT, things like explosive breaching and the deployment of chemical agents, all these different kinds of things. But since we have the commander of SWAT on today, I would imagine we're going to talk a little bit about how and when, because you have referenced that a time or two, Sheriff, how and when SWAT is typically used or deployed. And we've talked a lot about the thought process and the pre-planning that goes in to using SWAT, among other things. And let me know if that's where you kind of want to begin this morning.
Yeah, that's what I thought we would do. So I had the opportunity, I've been trying to get Tom on here for the last couple of weeks, our Lieutenant Shaw, who, as you mentioned, is the current SWAT commander. He's a very busy person, as we can all imagine. He's got wears a number of hats over at the Fargo Police Department. And finally was able to be able to have him on this morning with us. He had a few minutes. And Tom does a great job. I've known Tom personally for several years. I've worked with Tom in a SWAT capacity for several years and as a police officer, and he does an excellent job. He does great as our SWAT team leader. And we just had the opportunity to have him on this morning. So I think that taking advantage of that, kind of what I'd like to talk about is maybe have Tom go over kind of what he's seen over the last couple of years in his commander position as far as SWAT team callouts. I think that they've had quite a few lately here. And over this year. So I think it would be good to maybe go over some of those numbers, and then you and whoever else, if you want to ask questions kind of about how maybe a barricaded, let's say, incident works, how he as the commander works through a situation like that. So that's kind of, I thought, maybe the road we would go down this morning. So maybe turn over to Tom here, and he could maybe go over just our SWAT team callouts maybe over the last 3 years and see if we're kind of seeing a rise in that, or what that looks like.
Sounds great. Lieutenant Shaw, the floor is yours.
Very good. Thanks for having me this morning, Sheriff. So the last few years for us have been very busy. I came back onto the team in the summer of 2024 to take over command from Captain Christensen, who had been in that position before me. And it's been pretty apparent to me that our call-out numbers have gone up over the years. I'm currently looking at, you know, what our statistics are all the way back to the year 2000, which is when our multi-jurisdictional team was actually formed into what it is today. And in 2025 and 2024, we have seen the highest number of call-outs than ever before. So right now we're tied with 2024 at 31 call-outs. And 31 in and of itself may not seem like that large of a number. However, one of the things I want all of the listeners to take into consideration is, you know, this is a secondary duty team. So all of the members of our team, including myself, have primary law enforcement jobs, and we're made up of multiple agencies throughout the metro area and across the river into Minnesota. So anytime there's a call out, our personnel are dropping whatever they're doing on their primary jobs to hustle over and get going for a SWAT operation. So having 31 of those is certainly a high number, and it is a lot of work to tackle. There's obviously work on the back end that happens after callouts as well, too. So in addition to training and everything else. But, you know, looking at the last 2 years of 31 callouts, and I would be shocked if we didn't have some more before the end of 2025. So likely that number will go up. I think a few things factor into that. One, all of our agencies and personnel in our metro area are much better at locating some of the suspects we've dealt with over the last couple of years than what we've ever been before. So in years past, and I'm going back decades, you know, if we had a known suspect, it was much more difficult for us to locate those suspects. And nowadays we are much, much better at locating them, which then precipitates the need for a SWAT response due to their nature.
So when you say call out, what's involved in a call out? How many people, what kind of equipment, what's the nature of a call out?
Sure. Overall, the vast majority of our call outs would be what are considered a full team call out. So not only are we going to have the tactical team, which are the guys out there in the green uniforms with the vests and the helmets and the special weapons and our heavy equipment like our Bearcat and our up-armored Skid Steel or the Rook, you're going to see our bomb team out and our negotiations team out. So we have a total number of 55 personnel allotted for the SWAT team, give or take a few vacancies here or there throughout the years as people rotate in and out. So it's a pretty large presence. When we go to a call out, we will bring all the personnel that we need. You will likely see, you know, what we call perimeters set up. You will hear us with our machinery. Oftentimes you'll start hearing announcements to maybe occupants of a structure, telling them that they were there for a search warrant or potentially telling them that they're already under arrest for a crime that they may have already committed. And, you know, we will use our tools and the special tactics that we train on regularly to try to bring that situation to a close without any, you know, injuries, without any loss of life, to the best of ability we can. Our goal is not to ramp up a situation. Our goal is to get there with all the tools and tactics and knowledge and know-how necessary to bring that to a peaceful conclusion.
Yeah, and Lieutenant Shaw, I know that we appreciate you being on the Coffee Club with Sheriff Johnner this morning as well. And I know we've been talking in our other segments. I've kind of been stressing the point, and I would imagine you would agree, that you guys would prefer situations where there is never a shot fired. You're doing it as safely as possible for the assailant and to take him or her into custody, and for the safety of the team members as well.
Absolutely. You know, the reason we bring all the equipment we do is to make sure that we are prepared for any type of incident to occur, preferring that, hey, we show up, we will establish a tactical control of that situation. We will do our best to command any of the suspects that we are there to take into custody to comply and just come out. And if that was all we needed to do was show up with all of our gear, tell people to leave and do what they need to do, if they are under arrest, to comply with our commands, and then we go home, that would be great.
Yeah, and I think there is potentially a bit of a psychological thing here as well. Maybe I'm off base, but, you know, the implication being ultimately if you show up in force, maybe that will compel the alleged suspect to give up and, you know, end things peacefully and all of that sort of thing, too.
Absolutely. In a lot of our training, you know, we will use our own personnel as role players, as potential suspects. I've been on the receiving end of our team in that environment, and I know Sheriff Johnner has as well. And even for somebody who's been on the team for numerous years, in those training scenarios, it's still intimidating knowing what's going to happen when all of those pieces are put into place and SWAT starts taking over tactical control of a situation. I don't like being on the receiving end of that either. And if that psychological aspect of our operations is successful, that is definitely a benefit to us.
And, you know, I was talking with some folks in the building here the other day, you know, our news department. Obviously, we have other folks who do talk shows as well. Maybe the stats don't bear this out. I don't know if you have the call numbers, but it seems to me, I mean, I'm under the understanding SWAT is special weapons and tactics. Like, this is the people we call out if there's a very serious situation, a last resort, all of this different kind of things. But it seems like this year, and I think you said earlier in the show, the 2024-25 numbers, you've been called out more than ever. It seems like SWAT's getting called out like a regular police call. Am I wrong on that?
So the way our call-out process works, and I'll try to keep this short for the sake of time, but the SWAT team is an asset or a resource, very much like our crowd management team, canine units could be looked at.
Yeah.
It's up to each individual agency that's a member of our team to decide whether or not SWAT is going to respond to an incident. And the way that that is decided is, you know, we're looking at suspect's criminal history.
Yeah.
We are looking at what recent events are. And at that point, if some of those, you know, I guess, limits are met, then that agency will contact SWAT, and then we will respond. We don't take over the whole incident. We just manage the tactical operation and trying to get things resolved as peacefully as possible.
Yeah, like if you're looking at the information you have available and the on-scene commander says, hey, look, this person has a propensity for violence and maybe even against law enforcement, they're going to be a very serious individual to deal with. But I guess the kind of the way I was attempting to go with it, there's a perception out there in the public. We see SWAT out. We see news reports with SWAT entering a home just a couple of nights ago. There is a perception, maybe it's not bared out on paper, but there's a perception that violent crime is going up in the community.
And it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, our population is getting larger. Certainly, violent crime is occurring across our metro area.
Yeah.
Without looking at the specific numbers for, you know, what we consider violent crimes, I can't speak specifically on that right now. But I think a large part of the amount of SWAT call-outs we've seen in the last couple of years are due to a number of factors. One, we are tracking and locating violent suspects better than ever, and there could be an uptick in some of that violent crime that is occurring as well. I just can't give you the specific statistics right now on what those crimes are, so I don't want to say one way or the other at this point.
Makes sense.
Could I add to that a little bit, Ronnie?
Yeah.
So I, you know, very much what Tom says, I agree with. Also, I think that law enforcement in our area here, whether it's the Clay County Sheriff's Office, the Cass County Sheriff's Office, West Fargo PD, Fargo PD, Moorhead PD, we're all a little bit smarter about approaching some of these situations. And what I mean by that is, in the past, sometimes maybe law enforcement handled some of these situations with less resources. And now, like we've mentioned in previous shows, where we have the SWAT matrix that we utilize to fill out, which very much like Lieutenant Shaw said, gives us an indication or a background of that person's criminal history, some other factors that might be involved in these decisions, such as, you know, do they have surveillance equipment? Do they have dogs that are violent on their premises? Stuff like that. And those things are all taken into consideration. But I think that law enforcement in this area has really advanced their thought process in doing these things a little bit more safely when we take people into custody or deal with these situations. And having SWAT come there, obviously, as we've talked about before, makes the situation safer, in my opinion. But I do think that there are additional factors in our community that are leading maybe to some additional call-outs, so things like addiction issues. Addiction plays a part into criminal activity. And I think that with our growing population, anytime that we have a community that's growing very, very fastly, or very, very fast, I should say, like ours is, you're going to have some additional criminal activity that comes along with that. So I think there's a number of factors. Like I said, addiction, mental health, and then a growing community, I think, is all attributing to that.
Well, Sheriff, we just had a news story come out the other day about the fact that overdoses I would consider them rapidly increased over the previous year, but the information you're giving bears that out. I mean, ultimately, if you've got those issues that come out, more addiction issues, there's perforation of drugs into the community, all of that falls like dominoes. It's, you know, that leads to propensity for more crime, domestic violence, all those different kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen an uptick in definitely narcotics trafficking into our community. And when people are involved in narcotics activity or in the narcotics trade, so to speak, typically those people are carrying firearms because of the amount of cash that's being exchanged when we have narcotics deals that are taking place. And we've talked about nothing's changed with this before, but when people are addicted to methamphetamine, that can make people more paranoid. That drug typically has that type of stigma with it, and we've seen that. And when people are more paranoid and those types of things, that they tend to become more violent in situations. And so, you know, not all the SWAT callouts are specifically related to narcotics, but a majority of them are, I think. Lieutenant Shaw would agree with that. And so, it's just a matter of we're seeing an uptick in that, and law enforcement being smart about approaching these situations for the safety of everyone involved, and using the tools that are available to us to try to conclude these types of situations safely so no one gets hurt.
And Lieutenant Shaw, I know we've talked about SWAT over the past couple of weeks, the different tactics. We even had a team member on the program as well. But they mentioned you and other members of the team, I would imagine, have to take different kinds of training, schools all over the country, you know, wherever it is regionally available. But do you ever talk with other team members from other departments in different places across the country about, because we have a kind of a working agreement between Moorhead, the state of Minnesota, the state of North Dakota, all that, how unique our Red River Valley SWAT team is?
We correspond regular with other teams in the region, across North Dakota, Minnesota. We also have connections nationally with other teams to see, you know, what they're dealing with, how their teams are built. It is unique for a SWAT team to stretch across a state line. Pros and cons to some of that. Sometimes yeah. there's some legal things that we need to work around, but for the large part, it's a great asset to be able to have all of our partner agencies in our region be a part of our SWAT team. It's not common to see stretching across state lines like that.
And then, you know, the technology you mentioned, that it's now, some of this is coming from it's now easier to keep track of and or locate potential suspects and things like that. How is that, the technology that's now available, help you both track and assess criminals and make things safer when you come across a situation where someone's barricaded in a location and you have to extricate them? How has the technology kind of helped the special weapons and tactics teams?
It's amazing, to say the least, and Sheriff Johnner can attest to this too, but I came on the team originally back in 2006. Our idea of technology to assist us at that time was a good, what we call a throw phone from negotiations, so they could talk with somebody inside, mm-hmm. and maybe what we would call a poll camera. A camera that can look around corners and underneath doors. We have come light years away from that, and I'll kind of start from where you talked about just locating and finding suspects, and much of that is done at the agency level. All of our agencies in the area have some sort of intelligence person or intelligence unit that is responsible for tracking just sheer information. And a lot of that is tracking information on who our known suspects are for recent crimes. That could be a whole new radio show in and of itself, so yeah. I won't go too deep into the weeds there. But a lot of the locating is done by the agencies. But once SWAT is brought into the situation, you know, the Rook is a big piece of technology for us. And if people haven't seen that or they don't know what it is, imagine a Bobcat skid steer with armor on it with the ability to lift cameras, lift SWAT personnel to different levels so we can get eyes inside a structure from a safe perspective. We have drones. We have robots that are able to go in and safely do reconnaissance of a structure without having to put a person at risk to do that. We have software that helps us get information about who our suspects are. I could go on and on about technology, but all of those things are used to help us gain information about the situation specifically or who we're dealing with to help us bring those situations to a conclusion with very safe results.
Well, and you know, and to that same aspect, over the years, you know, if you watch some of these first responder shows like I grew up with, your Adam 12s, your, you know, that every once in a while you see a negotiator come out to the scene where they're like, hey, I'm going to come inside, we're going to talk, all this kind of stuff. But nowadays, yeah. I think you guys have something where they could potentially even see a negotiator on a video screen that's atop a roving platform. They wouldn't have to actually be right next to the suspect.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the communication with people inside incidents where SWAT responds has been much better over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years than ever before. You know, we have multiple means of finding phone numbers to try to contact people with. Yeah. We can communicate to our robots. We can communicate through some of the vehicles we bring there. So it's the days of having people go in as a negotiator and do face-to-face conversations in a really dangerous situation, I won't say are never going to happen again, but they're going to be very, very rare.
Fantastic. Well, you know, as always, it's just been tremendous information. And like we've said with each one of these segments, Lieutenant Shaw, you know, and the sheriff's been privy to this, we just tell people this is great for the public to know, because everybody has always wanted to know, you know, kind of what conditions SWAT is brought into the situation, things like that. But also the reason why SWAT exists and the fact that it is there to provide safety to the public like any other law enforcement entity, and to officers who maybe are the first on the scene when someone initially barricades themselves in a location or whatever the situation may be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't say that it's all completely unknown, but I would imagine as a citizen in the neighborhood and they see our armored vehicle roll by, or they see the Rook, or they see a bunch of guys running around with, you know, uniforms and vests and rifles, that would be a little unnerving. What I would try to encourage people to remember is, you know, if you see that, we are responding to a scene to try to keep it safe. We aren't going to be going there to instigate a situation to get worse.
Yeah, or in the case of we periodically get these press releases from Fargo PD as well, or there are cases where you have an agreement with a particular location and you are doing training. We usually get a press release in which we announce the SWAT team will be training on such and such a date. So if you see people in this stuff, don't be alarmed. They're having training.
Right.
Well, Sheriff, we're about out of time, it looks like. Any final words, I guess, first, whoever wants to go first, and then we'll wrap up the discussion for this morning.
Yeah, I can just, number one, I want to, again, thank Lieutenant Shaw for coming on the show and also for his leadership over the last few years here as the SWAT commander, as the sheriff, obviously, and with the rest of our agencies around here. It gives me a good peace of mind to know that if we're dealing with a critical situation, one where there's a high probability that someone could be hurt, at, you know, me being able to activate the SWAT team to come to that area and help us work through that situation. And Lieutenant Shaw to come there with his knowledge and his leadership, along with the rest of the team, to assist us to work through that, gives me a great peace of mind. It should give our citizens the same. And so I just appreciate everything he does and the team does. So I was glad, or we were lucky to be able to have him on this morning. Glad we could get him on, and appreciate the information that he relayed.
Absolutely. And Lieutenant Shaw, we appreciate you very much for we know your time is precious. We appreciate you sharing it with us. Any final words for us this morning?
I just want to say thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to kind of explain a little bit of the background on how the team works and really what our mission is. So appreciate the time.